Joining me via the World Wide Web, I think we can still call it that, Victoria Moran is the Riverbend Stroke Support Group facilitator, and she is here to talk about, well, obviously, the Stroke Support Group. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Now, stroke is something that happens a lot to people, and sometimes it goes unnoticed if they're small TIAs and stuff like that. Tell me a little bit about what folks need to know first about what a stroke does, and then we'll get into what you do.
Sure. So a stroke is a brain attack. We think about heart attacks, but so for stroke, we need to think about brain attack. And really, if you know the BFAST acronym, you are already about 90% more educated than half the population here in the United States. So BFAST stands for balance, eyes, face, arms, speech, and time. So if you see someone who has a sudden loss of balance, that could be a sign. If they have a sudden loss of vision in one or both eyes, if their face starts to droop, if they can't raise both of their arms at the same time and at the same level, if their speech is impaired. And so time, the T stands for 911, time. So the faster someone gets to the hospital, the better, because time is brain. So don't take your friend to the hospital. Don't take your loved one to the hospital. Don't tell them to go take a nap. Call 911, because there are various resources that the ambulance has in saving time. Yeah.
Now, when someone experiences this, sometimes it can be a bit not just physically debilitating, but emotionally debilitating as well. And so I guess the need for a support group probably covers more than just the physical aspect. Does it not? Does it not cover the mental health aspect of how to deal with what they've experienced?
Yeah, so our support group is a collective of stroke survivors and their caregivers. And we do meet a lot of emotional needs, but I think we also meet a lot of social needs. So when I think of the support group, I think, what do people need socially? Loneliness is the number one cause of depression in the United States. It's almost an illness now, this act of loneliness. And so for socializing, it's super important for folks to stay connected, to belong. And I did see this in my own mother. She had a stroke in 2010, and she had a lot of loneliness, and some of her friends fell away. So for our support group, what we do is we connect. And we don't just talk about stroke. We do talk about stroke, but we also bring in other ideas and concepts to discuss. For example, we meet the first Wednesday of each month from 2 to 3:30, and we typically have a speaker. And we've had doctors come in, we've had nurses, PAs, but also we've had artists come in, therapists come in, lawyers. And so it just really starts these conversations. And I think that's important for folks to realize, I'm still an adult. I might have had a stroke. I might struggle with reading second grade level books, but I'm still an adult, and I still have ideas, and I still have wants and needs that need to be met. And so that's what I try to do, is to remember these are folks are struggling. Just because they're struggling doesn't mean they don't need the resources that everyone needs.
Do you find that the worst effects of a stroke determines where a person sees themselves socially? I mean, as far as, because I understand that some of the results of a stroke can be minimal, and people don't necessarily feel the same as someone who might have had a more major reaction to it.
I agree with you. And the reason I agree with you is my mother had severe aphasia at first. And I remember it was kind of like talking with a toddler. I had to talk for her. I could understand her better than other folks, just because I think one thing, I've been a mom, and so you kind of learn communication, nonverbal communication cues. But also, I've just been around her a lot. And I remember taking care of various things for her, talking with maybe the utility folks or talking to the bank for her and taking care of a business for her, because she struggled. And I told her, and this is before I was before I worked at Peace Health, before I facilitated the support group. And I just told her, you have to get better. And the only way you can get better is to get out there and to talk with other folks and work on your speech. She lived in a tiny town. that really didn't have the resources. And in 2010, I don't think there were a lot of resources for her anyway. Just 14 years ago, it's a big difference than today. And she was in a tiny town. But I had her join the Y. I took her to the library. We picked up books that she could read. So I started making her be social, which sounds kind of mean, but in the end, it turned out to be really great. Her speaking began to get better. She started reading books at higher and higher levels. She joined a Bible study. So I think folks have a really hard time not being okay and letting people see them not be okay. But since I was okay with Mom, my daughter was okay with Mom, my husband was okay with Mom, and we hung out with her and took her places socially, I think that really started to engage her. Like, I need community. I need to belong. And in order to do that, I have to work on my speech.
Do you find that the sooner they get involved in that, the more quickly they overcome some of the issues? Or does it matter?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
So what sort of things other than the social aspect do you do? Like, say you bring maybe lawyers in. What do the lawyers tend to talk about?
Sure. So the lawyers that we had, they talked about estate planning, which is really something everyone should have thought about, but maybe especially for a stroke survivor thinking about the near future, especially if their health declines, you kind of need to think about the future. And we also talked about not only wills, but like end of life choices, how they want to be seen at the hospital, who they want to have maybe their primary contact. So we just went over different things like that. And I really thought it was useful for folks to think about having these resources for their family. It was more about, I'm going to do this for my family, not so much I'm doing this for myself.
And they do things like power of attorney for healthcare, power of attorney
Thank
for
you.
Finances. Is that what you were looking, the word you're looking for?
Yeah. I wanted to say prime directive, but that wasn't quite right.
That's a little bit different. Yeah,
yeah.
So a lot of people may be, and in this day and age, you wouldn't think so, but a lot of people may be under the misconception that strokes mainly happen in older people.
Now, absolutely.
That's not true, right?
No. I actually had a speaker last month. Her name is Molly. She had a stroke at 21. She's 38 now. And so absolutely young people can have stroke. You can have stroke anytime. And I was under that misconception when my mother had her stroke. So my mother had her stroke when she was 61 and a woman. And I had all these preconceived ideas that a 61-year-old woman couldn't have a stroke. So I was really enlightened after my mother's stroke. And I'm really passionate about people understanding stroke because I didn't. And it wasn't because I was not willing to learn. It's because I just didn't have the resources. I didn't have access to this information. And I don't know why I didn't have access to this information. Maybe it's scary to talk about stroke. Maybe it's scary to listen about stroke. But I think the more outreach we do in the community, the better for everybody.
What are some of the other misconceptions that you've come across that people have about it in your dealings with the support group?
Sure. I think a lot of people think that stroke survivors are fragile. And again, that they're children, and they're not. These are adults. These are people who need the same connection, the same love. Sometimes their vocation has changed, or maybe they can no longer work. My understanding is that stroke is one of the number one disabilities in the United States. And so I just think that the misconception is these people aren't people anymore. And that's heartbreaking. I noticed that my mom's friends didn't want to hang out with her as much. I noticed just a really lack of community. And I've kind of seen that even today as I try to engage with others.
When you talk about like your mom's friends didn't want to engage with her as much, I know from some of my own experiences is that when you're dealing with someone who you don't know how to communicate with because they communicate differently, what are some of the things to tell people that may initially want to shy away because they're not familiar with how to communicate?
Well, then I say change the activity. If you used to go out to coffee and chat, I say go for a walk. I say start fishing. I say take them to a movie, take your friend to a play. my mother loved going to the movies. My mother loved going to plays. She typically understood everything that was going on, and anything that she didn't, we'd talk about it after the play or after the movie, but she still loved it. It was still something that she enjoyed, and she loved it before her stroke, and she loved it after her stroke. So if there's something that your friend or loved one loved before their stroke, I'm 1,000% sure they're going to love it after their stroke, just in a different way.
So do those kind of things, and then maybe over time, the conversation will start to grow after that.
Yeah, just modify.
Right.
Think about modifications to that to the activity.
Now, what about as part of the stroke support group, like you said, a lot of these people are stroke survivors, but are there non-stroke victims involved in this as well?
Sure. So non-stroke survivors, we call them caregivers. So they typically take care of their stroke survivor. I was considered a caregiver, which can be confusing with folks who work at Peace Health because they're also called caregivers. Like, I'm called a caregiver here at Peace Health. So it's confusing. So yeah, so we call these folks caregivers. A lot of them are just friends that love their stroke survivor and come to the meetings. Some of them are spouses, some are daughters or sons. And really, it's just about trying to connect with others, gaining friendships, gaining a community.
What else would you like to know in conclusion here to folks that may not have been involved in a situation with that, to be prepared for, to be ready for, or to consider learning more about?
Sure. I think folks should go look up BFAST for me. I really want them to understand the signs of strokes, or just Google the word signs of stroke. And we also have information at peacehealth.org about our support group, about stroke, about our physicians. And here at Peace Health, we're a comprehensive stroke center. So we are the go-to for anyone who thinks they're experiencing a stroke in the Eugene Springfield area. Come to Riverbend Sacred Heart Medical Center, ASAP. Do not drive your friend. Call 911.
And I guess that would be the same for Florence, too. Call 911. That should be the first move you should make. Yeah. Victoria Moran is the Riverbend Stroke Support Group facilitator. Victoria, thank you so much for being part of this today.
Thank you so much.
And if you or a family member are a stroke survivor and would like to be part of the Riverbend Stroke Support Group, you can contact Victoria at 541-222-8461 or email strokecenter@peacehealth.org. Thank you for tuning in. That's our January edition of Our Town on Coast Radio.